comforting to know that he's holding my hand. Guess I need to. I'd like for us to, first of all, I desire your prayers today as we endeavor to deliver the burden the Lord's given us. I'd like for us to turn to the little book of Jude. There's only one chapter, so we won't find that difficult. It's the last little book before Revelation. I'd like to for us to read together, beginning in the 17th verse. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. If you're breathing this morning, I think we all know that you're a target of the enemy. Yes. He wants to destroy every one of us. And I think about the adversities that we face in life. Not only our own struggles, our own burdens and personal trials, but the things that are without. For instance, the spirits that we must deal with in this world today. I've noticed in the almost 70 years that I've lived that there seems to me to be a lot more spirits to contend with today than there was when I was much younger. There's been a lot turned loose from the pits of hell that you and I have to contend with. So it's a given, no matter who you are this morning, saved or unsaved. No matter who you are, you're going to be dealing with adversity. I read something I found to be very interesting this past week. Some young woman went to her grandmother and told her that her husband had left her. They hadn't been married very long, and her husband had left her. So it said, the story goes that the grandmother took her into the kitchen. She got three pans of water. In one pan, she put some carrots. In another pan, she put an egg. And in another pan, she put some coffee beans. Said she turned the heat on every one of them. And as the heat began to rise up in the pan and in the water began to boil. She stood there and she watched all three pans, water boiling. And after a while, the grandmother turned the heat off. The water settled down in there and she took the carrots out of the pan. She says, "Tell me how those carrots feel." She said, "Why, they're really tender. They're pliable. They're much softer than they was when you put them in there." She said, "Now," she said, "open the egg." So the young woman cracked open the egg, and of course it was hard boiled. It was solid inside, wasn't fluid anymore. Then she says, I want you to taste of the water that's in the one with the coffee beans. And she said it tasted very good to her. Can't imagine that, but it tasted good to her. And the moral of the story is that every one of us deal with pressure all the time. We deal with adversity all the time. Now, we have a choice. We do have a choice. And how we let those things affect our lives. The carrots, it softened and tenderized them. We can allow the trials and adversities that we deal with in life to do that to us, to soften us. Remember Job, it said he made my heart soft? Or we can choose to be like the egg when the heat's been turned up and we go through the hard and difficult things. We can come out hardened by the effects of our trials. The enemy, his design is for us to do that. Or then maybe we could be like the beans that was in the water. Instead of allowing the water to have an adverse effect on the beans had an effect on the water. And it gave the water flavor. So you and I have a choice this morning in how that we deal with life. And how that we deal with adversities. But there's one thing for sure. You're going to have adversities. We're going to have adversities, folks. We're going to get phone calls that's going to bring sorrow and sadness, disappointments. We're going to hear things or have people offend us and that are going to hurt us and cause great pain inward. We're going to face a lot of different things in life. But I want to deal with this morning by the help of the Lord of how that you and I can prepare, be ready, how that we can deal with these kind of things according to the Word of God. We all know what spirituality is, don't we? We've heard the word spirituality. And that's really the word that I want you to go home with this morning, spiritual. What is spiritual? We hear about it, we talk about it. What does it mean to be spiritual? Folks, it means to be spiritual means that you and I take on the character of God. You and I reflect. As you and I are become more spiritual, how do I become more spiritual? Well, I hope you'll know a little bit more about how to become more spiritual by the time we're finished this morning. But being spiritual means that if I'm spiritual, I'm reflecting the character of God everywhere I go, in everything that I do in my life. I'm being an ambassador for God, for Christ, in this dark world. I believe the Bible teaches us that we are to be spiritual. God made us twofold creatures. He made us in the flesh, and He gave us flesh and bones, but He also gave us a spirit, didn't He? And He intended for us, you and I, to be spiritual, because that's what came from God. The flesh came from the dirt, from the earth, but the spirit came from God. The Spirit is the one that we're interested in this morning. The writer said, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles about our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time that would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. Now I'm convinced this morning that there's very few people in a world made up of millions and millions and possibly billions of people, I'm convinced this morning that there's very few people that have the Spirit of God dwelling within their souls. There's very few spiritual people. He said here, they be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. The Spirit there is capitalized. It's capital S. He's talking about having not the Spirit of God. But you. You, beloved, you and I this morning, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The antidote or the cure for error is not just to pull back from error, but it's to build ourselves up in what is right, in clinging to God in prayer. Building up yourselves in the love of God, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, I'm convinced this morning that faith is the operation of success for every one of us. I believe that we get faith by going to service. I believe we get faith by hearing the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that what the Scripture says? So it is it's of utmost importance to come to the house of God to hear the Word of God, because it inspires and encourages and increases our faith. But not just to pull back from evil or pull back from what is wrong, but be built up. And I'm interested this morning in you and I being built up in what is right in the things of God. But he said here that praying in the Holy Ghost. And I believe right there is one of the great secrets of the success of a child of God, is being able to pray in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Remember what happened so many times over the church at Ephesus. They lost their first love. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's something I have to do, folks. We have to do that. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Being kept in the love of God is going to depend on our faith and our determination to do it. If we want to be spiritual, if we want to reflect the character of God, folks, you and I are going to have to put some effort into it. You and I are going to have to labor to do it. It is not going to just fall upon us. But there are some things that we have to do. But God has given us the tools, and He's given us the ability by the Word of God that you and I can build up, that we can be determined that we're going to be successful in the midst of adversities, in the midst of our trials. We're not going to let them down. We're not let them get us down. We're not going to let them get us discouraged. We're not going to let them cause us to give up. And we're not going to let us, and I'm going to stress this again this morning, we're not going to let our trials and tests and all the things that we've got to deal with in life keep us out of the house of God. The Bible, the New Testament teaching is to forsake not yourselves. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, even so as some are. Even so, as you see the day approaching. So, I want to start here in our little lesson, the message this morning, about building up. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And in order to do that, we've got to be able to pray in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's going to take some effort. That's going to take some time. And that isn't going to happen in 5 minutes. That isn't going to happen with giving the Lord 5 minutes while I take the rest of the day to do what I want to do. It's not going to happen that way. You and I've got to put forth some effort in this thing. Now, I'd like to turn to Philippians, the first chapter. Paul said in verse 2. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Can you imagine that? In every prayer that Paul prayed, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. For you all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced this morning that no matter where we are along life's way, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, that he is still working on us. He is still working to improve our spirituality. He's still working to improve our understanding. I believe what he's talking about is he's working his work of grace in each and every one of our lives. And it's not the things of the world, because the things of the world, they're not of the Father and they're not of God. But he said to you and I, that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to be continually working in every one of us until the Lord comes back, or until he calls us home to glory. That's the work of the Lord. He's working with every one of us this morning. Now, I want to go to this thought about praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. Let's look now, right here in Philippians, the 4th chapter. I want to spend a little time here in the 4th chapter of Philippians. Verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, Peter says we are peculiar people. We're not like the world. In other words, we've been set apart. Folks, we need some understanding of how to reach the summit of spirituality in our life, and how to draw more of the character of God within us. And of course it takes humility. We'll read about that too. But how to get a hold of what it's going to take for you and I to be able to stand in these evil days. Because it's important that we're able to stand. You and I have been set apart, which means that you and I are to utilize or take advantage of the means of God's grace. He will finish what he started. You and I have to take advantage of that. Sometimes I feel like we're more earthbound than we are heavenbound, and we spend more time on the earthly things and the natural things than we do for the things of our soul. And folks, I'm concerned that this thing is going to hurt us down the road. The enemy is going to take advantage of it down the road. Now's the time to build the dam before the flood comes. Now's the time to build the foundation before the difficult things come. Build the foundation before the water comes. Give it an opportunity to get hardened and to get solid, that you'll be able to stand in these evil days, as Paul said. Now he said here, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Something special, something very different about someone that can rejoice in adversity and ones that cannot. It is as if that Paul is looking into the future here, considering all the possibilities that you and I may face that will bring sorrow in our lives, But in spite of them all, he repeats the command, rejoice. Even whatever, looking at the sorrows and the disappointments and the troubles, he said again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Can we rejoice? The Lord wants us to rejoice. There's something in that. When we are rejoicing and we are praising God in the times of our adversities, and we don't feel like it, but is this a way of feelings? No, this is a way of you and I having spirituality. That we have a spirit, our spirit, connected with God's spirit. The Bible says there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. And I want the Lord to give us understanding this morning that we want to take on more of the character of God, that we can have power to stand when these adversities and when these things are coming upon us and are coming against us. You know, the command, Paul says, to rejoice at all times is nothing more than a call to faith. Great, strong faith. I have some burdens that you'll probably be hearing in the near future that will kind of go along with some of this. But I'm very troubled in my spirit. I'm very concerned as I look on the days that we're living in. And I see the destruction. And I see the carelessness. And the indifference of souls. I'm very concerned about it. Folks, we cannot afford to be indifferent about this. We must be concerned for our souls. I've already heard in the Sunday school lesson this morning about seeking God first. We spend too much time seeking the Lord for our wants. We do. We spend a lot of time seeking the Lord for our wants. And Jesus very plainly told us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Paul said here, the command is to rejoice at all times and in all circumstances. Folks, that's a call to faith. How can I rejoice if I don't have faith in the one that I say I'm trusting? How can I rejoice if I don't have faith in the one that I say is love? If I truly believe that I put myself, my life, my future, and everything that I have in the hands of a sovereign and a wise and a loving God, should I be able to trust and rejoice in whatever He permits or allows to come my way? I think I should, folks. I think I should. I want to bring in right here, before I go any farther, I want to bring in a Bible character that I still don't think I fully understand. But I want to talk about Job for just a minute. Job. The book of Job demonstrates to us the inadequacy of human reason of understanding the sufficiency of the innocent. Now, to put that in more simple terms, Job demonstrates to you and I our inadequate ability to have human reasoning to understand why the innocent must suffer. We question that many times. Lord, why must they suffer? What did they do wrong? But Job here, the book of Job demonstrates some things to us. The inadequacy of our human reason in us trying to understand who God really is. God, we must understand this. God has divine freedom in the affairs of men that does not contradict His goodness or His sovereignty, but yet it still remains elusive to us. God has divine freedom in the affairs of men. He chooses to do what He will. He knows what is best for every one of us. He knows how to bring you and I to eternity. He knows how to bring you, cause you and I, or help you and I to make heaven our home. God is the only one that knows how to do that. And the book of Job causes us to question, Lord, so many times, why? And I say again, folks, He said, rejoice, and again I say unto you, rejoice. If I truly believe that I place myself in the hands of this sovereign God, Lord, help me to have faith this morning, to believe in Him, to know His way is best. We can sing the song, God's way is best. We can raise our hands to help me by faith to know that His way is best. Even when it's hurting me. Even when I don't understand it. Folks, look at Job. In one day, he had four messengers come to him in one day. And in one day, he lost two of life's most precious possessions. Didn't he? His family and his wealth. He lost his family. And he lost his wealth. Yet, the Bible says, he remained upright before God. When they came and told him that he had lost his all the animals, and then they came and said that he lost his sons and his daughters, folks, you think that wasn't hard on his wife? Sure it was hard on his wife. You think it wasn't hard on Job? Sure it was hard on Job. I fully understand why his wife came to him and said, why don't you just curse God and die? What's the use? We've lost everything. Folks, I've got to understand a sovereign God. I've got to be able to trust Him by faith. We've got some things coming upon this nation, this country, coming to our communities, coming to our families, folks, that we're going to have this kind of trust in God. Do you know what Job did when he got the last message? He'd lost his wealth. He'd lost his possessions. He'd lost his family. The Bible said that he fell on the ground and worshiped. Paul said, rejoice. And again I say unto you, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Oh, even when my feelings says, oh, I can do that. But folks, even when it goes against your feelings, Lord, help me. This has been a real challenge to me. This little message this morning is a challenge to my soul. It's a challenge to where I stand before God. It's a challenge of the reflection of His character within my life. It's a challenge to see how spiritual that I really am. Oh, I'm spiritual when things are good. I'm spiritual when things are going easy. But it said, he fell on the ground and he worshiped. Can I do that? If I get the word before this day is over that my children have all been taken out of this world, can I fall on the ground and worship? He did. He fell on the ground to worship. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and He hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that a challenge? Folks, that challenges me. Just this past week, we got two phone calls in one day. Both of them trouble. In family. One her side of the family, one our family. In the same day. And I thought about Job. He lost it all in one day. The only thing that God didn't permit the devil to do at that time was affect his health. But eventually his health was affected too, wasn't it? Eventually the enemy took advantage of that too. Folks, the enemy has things designed against you to destroy you. But you'll notice in the book of Job that he had to go to God and get a permit to do it. He had to get the permit And God said, you can only go so far. Oh, I'm so glad of that tonight. I don't know what He may allow happen in my life. I don't know what I may lose. I may lose my companion. I may lose my child. I may lose my house. I may lose my health. But can I fall on the ground and worship God? Oh, Lord, that's a challenge to me, folks. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Folks, moderation means your graciousness or reasonableness. Moderation, someone that kind of stays in the middle of the road, doesn't go too far one way or the other, being reasonable about things. He said, the Lord is at hand. You know, I believe His coming is imminent. I believe that the Lord is coming soon. But folks, also, the Lord is at hand spiritually. And when we have anxieties, we get anxious about things, we get troubled about things. Oh, I know, I get a lot of phone calls. Brother Larry this and Brother Larry that, that's all right. But folks, understand, we need to have a foundation that we can stand on of our own. We can call for prayer, we should. But we need to be able to trust God, folks. We need to have some strong faith. The Lord is at hand. To me, that means that He is near to free me from fear and from anxiety. Is that all right? The Lord wants to free us from the fear that the enemy will put upon us. And the anxiety, the anxiousness that we have. Lord, help us today. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. I'm talking about being spiritual. Having the mind of Christ. Paul told us to have that kind of a mind, didn't he? Having the mind of Christ. Having the character of God. The Lord is at hand. Do you feel the Lord is at hand? When you're in your distresses and you're in your troubles and problems, can you feel the Lord at hand? Folks, that's the time to go and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost until you can feel the presence of the Lord at hand in your situation. That He will take away the fear and the anxiety and you'll be able to peaceably trust in Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Be careful for nothing. You know, we've heard that a lot. And yet it's still hard for us. We hear it said, don't worry about anything. Worry never solved any problems. Worry never made anything right or fixed anything. And He said here, be anxious for nothing. It doesn't mean, that does not mean for you and I to be irresponsible in our duties to our loved ones, in our duties and to our responsibilities to the things that we are to take care of in life. It doesn't mean that we're to be irresponsible for those things. And it doesn't mean that we need to just miss it as it's not important. There's things that touch us. Things that happen that are legitimate concerns that we have. You understand what I'm saying? It's a legitimate concern. And we'd be derelict of our own personal duty between us and God and to the one that is calling for help if we showed no concern and no consideration. We'd be derelict of our duty. And we'd be very irresponsible if we just pushed it off Oh, the Lord's going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. Well, folks, there's a way to help people to understand God is still on His throne. God can take care of them. God promised that He would be with me always, even to the end of the world. Can we get a hold of that? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude said. And with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I think I know that the life of a Christian is to take everything to God in prayer. No matter what the size of the burden, no matter what the size of the need. But our success will mean you taking everything to God in prayer. And folks, God told us to bring our burdens to Him. And He's interested in us bringing our things, our needs to Him. But it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You know, I thank God for being God this morning. I thank Him for being love. I thank Him for being holy. He said He was holy. I thank Him for being sovereign. Folks, no matter how intelligent we are, no matter how much we think we know so little. We know so little when it comes to God. And we're serving one this morning that knows it all. You believe that? Lord, help us to believe. Lord, help us to have faith to believe. He does know it all. And the song says, no matter what happens, doesn't it? He will care for me. No matter what happens. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't it something how, and you know, we all do it. We get the Bible and we start reading scriptures and we just read right over these things and don't get the nuggets out of them, get the things out of them that God has for us. The peace of God. Folks, I'm thankful this morning for the peace of God. When I handle this properly, when I bring it to Him, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm trusting in Him, there's a tranquility of mind that takes away the fear and the worry. And I know I can just leave it in His hands because there really isn't anything I can do about it except pray. And there's a way to pray. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying with thanksgiving. There's a proper way to do these things, folks. May the Lord help us this morning that we'll do them in the fear of God. That we'll do them in the way that God instructs us to do them in His precious Word. A peace that passeth all understanding. A divine peace that He gives you and I in times of anxiety. In times of trouble. It is so wonderful that it even exceeds our ability to understand it. It passeth all of our understanding. We can't even understand it. But trust God. Have faith in God. How Job could fall on the ground and worship and have peace with God is amazing to me. In the distress and the trouble that he had just faced. In the news that he had just received. Lord, help us. I appreciate those. And there have been many. Some right here in this congregation when the troubles came. When the trials and the hurts come, the calls came in. They patiently waited on the Lord. And they trusted in God. I appreciate that, folks. They don't have to be the best talkers. They don't have to be the loudest people. But they're the ones that are pillars. They're the ones that are consistent. They're the ones that are faithful. in their times of trouble, in their times of I appreciate that. And I know that God notices that, and He takes note of that, folks. He said, shall keep your hearts and minds. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds. It'll guard your hearts and minds, folks. And give us the ability to cope with it and to solve it. Oh, you say, close your eyes and it'll go away. It's not going to go away, is it? But it's when I come to the place, as Job did, where I can worship God. And he said, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, always. And then he went on to talk about these things. Talked about anxiety and all these other things. And he still said, rejoice in the Lord always. Can I say I'm all the way there? Folks, I don't know that I can say I'm all the way there or not, but I want to get there. Because I want to be strong in God's grace when the big trials and the big battles come, because they're coming. We need to utilize. He's still working a work in us. We need to utilize His grace. We need to utilize the Word of God. And we need to utilize prayer. These things working together in our daily lives will help to increase our faith. These things working together will cause our faith to be increased because we're going to God for it. We're not dependent on ourselves. We're not trusting in ourselves, but we're trusting in the living God. And we're going to Him for it. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, today. Appreciate God's love and goodness to us. And thank Him for the Word. I wish I understood it more. I'd like to look at a scripture found in 1 Peter. You know, I was reading this and I thought, the thought came to me. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse. And I thought, I was reading this and I thought, you know, where do I begin with all this? Where do I begin with my salvation? Where do I begin trusting the Lord? Where do I begin to get my faith increased? Where do I begin to get power with God? Where do I begin to understand Him more fully? Where do I begin to have more spirituality in my life? I'm going to tell you something. You can't have spirituality and always be minding the things of the world. It ain't going to work. It doesn't go together. Paul said, or Peter here said in 5 and 6, humble yourselves therefore. Lord, help me. In other words, I've got to get rid of all my self-pride, my self-assurance, not my self-esteem. I don't think I should be down on myself that I'm the worst thing that ever lived and all that. But to humble myself in my mind, and in my spirit, in my heart before God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Why did he say that? Because, folks, it's hard for flesh to humble. It's hard for flesh to humble. But he said, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. And when you do that, when you allow... He said he hasn't finished. He's still working the work in every one of us. He hasn't finished the work that he started. God wants to humble us under his mighty hand that he may exalt us in due time. When our trials and our battles come, folks, when the enemy comes against us, we'll let God lift us up. We'll let God be the one to sustain us and to be our support. Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Lord, help us to be vigilant today. We've got to put some effort in this. We've got to put some work in this. No, we need to spend some time at home in prayer and in reading and seeking God for greater grace, greater understanding, greater help. Lord, help us today. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about. Someone said, I don't believe the devil ever sleeps. The devil's a spirit. He needs no sleep. He's continually after man, day and night. He's continually after us. Because your adversary, he's the enemy this morning. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. They tell me that in the jungles, where the lions are, I heard it described one time that when a lion gets hungry, can't find any prey, that it lets out a big, loud roar. Just echoes through the jungle. And the smaller animals that are there, they stop paralyzed in fear. Just paralyzed when they hear that loud roar. And the lion begins to walk around looking for them, and he finds them. And of course, they're his prey. They're his dinner. But he said the devil is as a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he's as a roaring lion. And we must respect what the enemy is trying to do to us. We can't discount that. That's why we need to be spiritual. That's why we need to have power with God. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. You know, also they say that, for instance, when the wildebeest are walking through the jungle, or some lesser powerful animal walking through the jungle, that the enemy, that the lion, he comes walking along in the back. He's back in the back, and if one of them gets a little careless and starts trailing behind the rest of them, that's the one he attacks. That's the one he attacks. Why? How did Peter get in trouble? Bible says he followed afar off, didn't he? Peter got in trouble. He followed afar off. Lord, help us to get as close to God as we can. Lord, help us to be able to praise Him. Whom resist? The devil. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Folks, we live in this world. We're going to have those afflictions, and we're going to have those trials. We're going to have those battles. We're not exempt from those kind of things. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But, I love this verse here, but the God of all grace, the one that is continually doing a work in me, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. His purpose is to bring spiritual soundness into my life, into my experience with God. His purpose is that I will be sound, that I will be solid, that I'll be founded upon that rock, and nothing can move me because I'm on the rock, Christ Jesus. And I've learned some things. I've developed. I've grown. I've matured. And I'm spiritually able to fight those battles. Those battles that David fought, the lion and the bear and the Goliath and all that, those were literal enemies. You and I have got to be prepared to fight the spiritual enemies that come against us daily. After you've suffered a while, He'll make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. I'm glad that's His purpose. That's His purpose in every one of us, folks, is to establish, strengthen, and settle us. Now I want to go, I've got a little time left, I think. I want to go to Romans. I want to start, I'll talk a little bit more about that praying in the Holy Ghost. Romans, the 8th chapter. I know it's familiar to us. I'd like to read it again. If we hope, verse 25, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We need a lot of help, don't we? I do. I need a lot of help. I have infirmity. I have weaknesses. I have things that I battle for my personalities. Things that I battle that are weak, that I don't seem to be able to overcome them. I don't seem to be able to get the victory over them. But he said here, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I'm thankful for that today. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now we've heard that many times. The Holy Spirit, He's there for a purpose for every one of us. The Holy Spirit interprets your most innermost feelings that you can't put into words. We heard this morning, a brother said, we don't always know how to say what really is on our hearts and what is really our burdens are. The Holy Spirit interprets our hearts, the things that we don't know how to put into words. He said, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now here's what the Spirit does for you and I individually. He determines, when I bring my prayer to God, my burdens to the Lord, the Spirit of God determines my intent. He determines my motive. He determines my weaknesses and my strengths. He determines my understanding. He knows how to get the help that I need according to my understanding, not someone else's. He searches my heart. Folks, He searches me. When I bring my burdens to Him, and my infirmities, and my difficulties, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But it said here in the 27th verse, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Lord, we want Your will to be done. Sure we do. And He searches me. He knows my makeup. He knows my burden. He knows my intent. He knows how serious I am about it. He knows my griefs. He knows how weak I am. He knows my strengths, the things that get in my way that cause me to stumble and fall. He knows those things. And so He searches my heart as I bring my burden to Him and I cast my cares upon Him. He knows all about me. He knows my abilities. And He knows what I'm able to understand. And He takes all these things and works them according to the will of God. Verse 27 says, the Spirit knows the mind. Let me read it again. He searcheth the heart. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows. What is the mind of God? The Spirit knows, see? He's part of God. And He knows what is the mind of God. And then God, in turn, knows what is best for you and me. He knows. He knows what's best for every one of us this morning. And His number one purpose, God has a number one purpose for each and every one of us here this morning, is to gather us into His eternal glory. That's what He wants to do. When we draw our last breath and we leave this world, His number one purpose is to get us to heaven. Because the Bible says it is not His will that any should perish. Isn't it? Peter said that. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. Oh, I'm so thankful to be serving this kind of a God today. His purpose, the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, He maketh intercession for us. He searcheth the hearts, and He knoweth what is the mind of God, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You want God's will done in your life, or do you want to have it your way? Folks, I had it my way for so many years, and I made such a mess of my life. I don't want it my way anymore. I want it God's way, because I want to go to heaven. I desperately want to go to heaven. I want to look at one more scripture before I close this morning. It's found in 1 John. 1 John, 5th chapter. 13th verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Scriptures clearly teach, not just here, but other places, that we can know whether we're saved or unsaved. We can know that. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Our assurance is not based on our feelings, but on the principles of the Word of God. The principles of the Word of God. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ is dwelling in our hearts. We can know that. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. What's His will? The Word of God's His will, isn't it? God has revealed His will to you and I through His Word. And He said again, this is the confidence. I can have confidence in Him that if I ask anything according to His Word, He's going to hear me. Jesus said that when He was here. Jesus told us if we asked anything in His name, according to His will, that He would hear us. And I believe that this morning. So what do I find here? I find that assurance of salvation, knowing that I'm saved, leads to confidence in the petitions that I make before God. Leads to confidence in the petitions that I make before God. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Effectual prayer. Effectual prayer is according to the will of God. Effectual prayer is praying in the Holy Ghost. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer. It is a heartfelt, in the Spirit prayer. You've had those experiences when it seems like your prayer was more inspired, maybe, than it was at other times. I remember praying for a sister. She asked me to pray for her, anoint and pray for her. She was dying with cancer. She did die with cancer. And when I finished praying, she asked me point blank. She was a very point blank person. Did you pray the prayer of faith? I said, I have faith in God. When I talk to Him, I believe He hears me. But I did not, and I cannot, and I will not pray against His will. I've asked the Lord, if it's His will to heal you, to heal you. And I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He can do it. I believe that. But it says the effectual fervent prayer. Well, a fervent prayer is going to be more than 5 minutes, isn't it? It's going to be time to get in there and pray in the Spirit before God. Of a righteous man avails not much. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us, taught us, man ought always pray and not faint. Folks, these are fainting times. These are fainting times. I know, just as sure as we're all here this morning, we have been overwhelmed with burdens. We have been overwhelmed in circumstances. What did Job do when he got overwhelmed? The Bible says he fell to the ground and he worshiped. Lord, help us today to fall to the ground and worship God. I want to read that again in Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's the goal, eternal life. The goal of every one of us is to live forever with the Lord in heaven. So may the Lord help us be spiritual. More time spent in the Word of God is not wasted. It's not wasted time, folks. When we spend our meditations and talking to the Lord and letting Him talk to us, when we're reading His Word, He's talking to us. He's telling us what His will and purpose is. It's not wasted time, but it'll be a time to build up your most holy faith, to build you up spiritually, to make you strong in the things of God, that you might be able to stand against the adversity and the wiles of the enemy. Pray for me that I'll be faithful to do these things.